Welcome to the Latin Jazz Vacation. I'm your host, Dale Morris, and today I have the distinct honor and pleasure of speaking with a huge, true giant in jazz, and particularly Latin jazz. I'm speaking of multi-award-winning pianist, composer, and educator, Antonio Adolfo. Antonio, welcome to the Latin Jazz Vacation.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to talk to you.
Antonio, you've been in the jazz scene in Rio for decades, and I understand you actually grew up there. What's the jazz scene like in Rio?
I can tell you that since the 60s, I started in Copacabana, Rio de Janeiro. There was a place named Beco das Garrafas, which means bottles, alley, where the jazz was very cultivated here, was much played here. Not only by Brazilian jazz players, but also by visitors, jazz musicians that used to play there after their concerts. They used to go to Beco das Garrafas. There were two nightclubs that we had jazz. And these guys, like, for example, Modern Jazz Quartet, Paul Winter, Stan Getz, and many people used to go there and play jazz. And then there was a generation from Brazilian musicians that grew up with that sound. And
yes, yes. So how did you get into music, and who were some of your early influences?
Oh, I got into music first through the violin. My mother was a violinist from the symphony orchestra in Rio de Janeiro. Her name was Yolanda. That's one of my compositions, Yolanda, that are also in the album. And that was my beginning. I was playing violin also, but I was a young kid at that time. But then at the age 14, 15, I started to listen to some jazz players. I remember the first jazz album I listened to was by Errol Garner, and that was very impressive. But then some friends showed me people like Miles Davis, Bill Evans, John Coltrane, Red Garland. I remember well these guys, and even Horace Silver, and even Art Farmer, Benny Golson. These guys all, I think, made my head, you know, like Herbie Hancock.
Yes, I read that you were heavily influenced by American jazz musicians, and how did those influences impact you, and how did you blend that with what you already knew?
Yes, actually, at that time, bossa nova was a jazz influencer, and then I think jazz was also bossa nova influenced, because I remember the album that Stan Getz did. There is one that he did with the guitar player. I can't remember now the name, but anyway, there was a big hit at that time. I think jazz has something that introduces the musicians to the improvisation and to the interaction. That's some elements that are very important that I use in my school here in Brazil. I try to tell people that we have to interact and that we can learn from jazz. That's always interaction and always the rhythm is very important. Harmonies are more sophisticated than the pop music, for example. That is very live, something very live, and those elements, I think, are very important for a musician.
On your latest release, Tropical Infinito, you decided to do something a little different by using a horn section. What led you to do that?
I always like to play with horns. Sometimes there's a problem that's more expensive. You have a octet, like eight people in the band to play. It's more difficult to get gigs.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, there was an album I did in 1979 that with three horns. I like the formation with three horns, being a trumpet, sax, and a trombone. I like that very much. In this album, especially, I brought the horn section to my rhythm section, and that was something that I loved to do, because I like the possibilities with three horns, because they give some punch, they give harmony, and then you have options to for the reefs, for example, the solos can have more solos. But I love to write for horn section.
Yes.
And this is the formation I choose for my album.
Right now we're going to take a break and listen to one of your original compositions from the Tropical Infinito CD, Partido Leve. You're listening to Latin Jazz on Cool and Current, WJSU. I'm Dale Morris with your Latin Jazz Vacation, and today I'm speaking with multi-award-winning pianist and educator Antonio Adolfo. Antonio, our listeners know you and love you for your music, but some may not know that you're heavily into music education. Why is that so important to you?
Yes, since I studied with Nadia Boulanger in France, she was a great teacher. I don't know if many people know that she was a teacher for Michel Legrand, for even Chick Corea had classes with her, Keith Jarrett, the American classical composer Aaron Copland, and people like that. So I had the chance to study with her, and she influenced me a lot in the way she approached music and the way that she could understand my music. And then I was very passionate by that experience of 2 years in France. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to Brazil in 1975, I decided to start teaching. I'm pretty sure I was influenced by the experience that I had with her.
Yes. When I attend one of your clinics or a seminar that you conduct, what will I learn? What should I expect to get from it?
In my seminars in the United States, for example, I concentrated on Brazilian music, mm-hmm. mostly on phrasing in Brazilian music and the main styles. That can be for any instrument. Phrasing something that makes each musician sound different from each other, you know?
Yes.
And so I think phrasing Brazilian music is the key for the person to understand and try to play more authentic Brazilian music.
Yes.
And then that's what I've been teaching in the U.S. when I am invited to teach a clinic or masterclass or workshops or like a series of workshops. I do that for a long time. I have 2 books released. They are released through European publisher, but they are also in the American market. One is Brazilian Music Workshop, and the other is Phrasing in Brazilian Music. So this is what I like to do besides playing, you know, besides composing, besides arranging.